Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, right next to very busy San Diego Landings in Point Loma. And we have a great guest, Bob Kurz, from the IGFA. Some really interesting stuff happening today.
Yeah, this has been fun, man. Like you said, great times, great fishing going on. You're going fishing and just talking about all the cool stuff that IGFA is. Records, tackle, gear, the tournaments, the catch certificates, all of the participation. This is just a really cool show and, like I say, great info. And if you want to participate in this fun show we're having, give us a call this morning at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. All the lines are full right now, but there's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to get through in the second hour. Or right this second, you could send us a text. That texting is only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app, free download. Just text your questions. Make sure you include your contact info with your question, because if you win today's killer prize, we need to get a hold of you to get you hooked up. And hooked up you will be. Again, if you didn't hear the beginning of the show, today one lucky caller or texter will win a lifetime IGFA membership worth $1,500. And one lucky either the caller or the texter that doesn't win the lifetime prize is going to win a yearly membership that's worth an extra $50. We're going to flip a coin to see who wins the lifetime membership at the end of the show today.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, let's find out what's biting out there.
It's time for that catch report. Today, our FishDope.com report is sponsored by the fish pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Get the best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase fresh fish. They sell smoked and jerkied fish, the spices, rubs, smoked cheese, tuna burgers, the Poke Kit. It's all available at their Liberty, at their Old Town location on Taylor Street. Order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make your reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. Yeah, again, one more time, 619-255-3128. That's the text line.
Got to make a reservation for it when you book your trip. Book your fish processing at Fisherman's Processing.
We had a couple in the shop the other day. They were going on a trip, you know, a week out or so. Everybody knows how busy it's been. We told them about it. They literally, while they were standing there, sent a text to that line, hey, my wife and I were going fishing. I think it was on Royal Polaris. We just want to make a reservation. While they were still in the shop, they got a text back, okay, got you down. No problem. You're in. No problem. Right. And now they don't have to worry about it when their trip comes back. Their spot is locked in.
You're locked.
They're getting cut.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, let's find out what's biting. Captain Mark Wish from Pacific Edge has our FishDope.com report. Good morning.
Morning, Pete. Morning, Rick. Bob Kurz, long time no talk to, buddy.
Yeah, good to hear you, Mark.
Yeah. So, a lot of stuff going on for this report. I think I need about 20 minutes, Pete. So, for all you guys that have been jonesing to get way out west and fish that Tanner and Cortez, well, you know, for a long time it was just cold, off-color water, not much going on. But that's changing, and it's been biting, and that's the good news. And the downside is we've got a little weather to deal with here for a couple days, but that'll pass. But so here's the rundown, guys. There's still quite a bit of bluefin way up north there, backside of Santa Cruz like that. You know, the planes are up there looking around from time to time, and they see major volume on the days that it's up. Not biting all that well, but there's definitely a bunch of it still above us, so that might be trickling down over the next month or two, who knows. But most of that fish that was in the Osborne 499 sector like that, it looks like it's kind of slid down and out, and it looks like it's settling in, you know, kind of went past the west end of Kameni and kind of down around that Cortez and Tanner sector. You know, some days it's, you know, a little out a little, but it's definitely around there. It's been really good fishing in flat, calm conditions here for the past several days. There's several grades of fish. For the guys that are anchoring up on the bank, you know, right up there in the shallows, that's more school-sized tuna fish there, 15 to 40 like that. And healthy sprinkle of that tanker-grade yellow. And, man, they're big ones, guys, 20 to 30s. you got 20 to 30s on bad bottom, that means heavy gear, and you've got to pull hard, guys. Clean your clock, man. And you get off the bank proper, mostly on the east side and northeast side of the tanner, like that, up there in the deep water. There's much more of that bigger grade fish, including some really big ones, daytime and nighttime, biting all the standard stuff there. So it's been interesting. And this weather will pass pretty quickly, it looks like. Way inside of there, that front side of Clemente, man, there's a nice little warm spot of water still, and it's got some nice great dolphin in it, dolphin tunas. Best one I heard of this week was 104 pounds. I saw the pictures of that young gentleman caught there. Man, what a beautiful fish for Southern California, 104-pound yellowfin.
Jeez.
That's just awesome. Nice. Yeah, and then another sector to keep an eye on is kind of from that 43 over to the corner there. You know, it hasn't been much for quite some time, but more signs of life in there, better conditions, and bluefin and yellowfin both in there. And now for some coastal and island action. So we're getting later in the season. Water's cooling down a little bit, and we're getting more towards squid season for sure. There's been bait up there on the northern islands. A little bit starting to show up in Santa Monica Bay now, which bodes well for the sea bass fish. And then much more at Catalina. And right now it's really easy to get. Just drive up to either receiver here in Long Beach. They got some bait in them. But Catalina, that good fish in the last couple days was really triggered by the guys having squid. That live squid really woke up those yellowtails the last couple days backside east there on that nice, like, 12 to 20-pound fish there. It was good fishing. And for some reason, those seals kind of backed off and gave them a break. So backside east was good for that. And then for the exotic of the week report, Isers Reef, tree fish are biting. One of my customers out there the other day, three big fat tree fish.
Wow.
What's tree fish doing in 80 feet of water in Southern California? That's weird, but nevertheless,
yeah.
We got three beauties.
Probably hanging out with a trigger fish.
Yeah, probably, but you know, that trigger fish bite, you know, kind of seems like it's backed off here. I haven't heard that much about them this year compared to past few, but they're definitely around. But anyway, that's this week's report, and I'll bet Bob could give us a little marlin report. Didn't you put a satellite tag in a marlin here recently, Bob?
We did, Mark. Last Sunday, Sally caught about a 140-pound striped marlin. Fish really cooperated alongside the boat. We were able to get a good placement with the satellite tag, and hopefully it's going to swim long and far. The tag's been on for 240 days.
That's awesome.
Wow. And then the tag pops up, and then it downloads the data?
Correct. It uploads all the data to the Argos satellite, which then is downloaded to the Block Lab at Stanford University.
Wow. And it just talks about the striped marlin migrations.
Right. It gives us on a 24-hour basis the actual movements of that fish, both vertically, horizontally, and shows its preference for water temperature.
Wow. And how many marlin have you personally tagged about?
Probably two dozen.
Two dozen? Here in Southern California?
No, actually around the globe. Hawaii, Dominican Republic, Southern California, Panama.
Really? Wow. That's impressive.
I love that you guys were able to do that with a local fish, too, you know, because, I mean, it's more common in areas where there's super high volume, because I'm sure it takes the right fish. It doesn't, one, just take catching one, but you want to make sure to put that tag into a fish that you know is going to be perfect and healthy and the right size and a good representation of the, you know, the class of fish. And so to do that from a local zone, I think is awesome, Bob.
Not only local zone, 14 miles from home, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Love it. Southern end of the 14-mile bank.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Congratulations. Hey, and Mark, fishdope.com, Danny and the boys have been doing such an excellent job of keeping people informed. You know, things are changing. Things are moving. This is the time of the year. You've got to have fishdope.com. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner by a big Chevron station there at Bolsa Chica and Edinger. And the phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. And the website is PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, man, we got good water conditions. And once this little breeze passes, man, we got a ton of fish around. It looks like the season's going to go late. And it's time to go fishing, guys.
Sounds good to me.
Style, Mark.
Ready to go. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. And we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You got it. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate that.
All right. Well, while we're waiting for our buddy Marcos from the radio to get rolling, had a great text come through. And this one was, From a person, no matter how many times we drill it through, make sure you include your contact info. No contact info on this one, but I thought the text was great and worth reading, and it had regards to records. It says, hey, Bob, you talked a lot about using IGFA line so that you're ready for a record. Can you still record a record even if it's not on IGFA rated line?
The answer is yes. Again, the key is, will it test out once you submit the line sample to IGFA with your world record application?
So you might be using 15-pound test, but if it breaks at 20, you're going to be in the 20-pound record category.
Correct.
But if your fish eclipses what would have been the 20-pound record, then away you go. It doesn't necessarily have to be an IGFA-rated line. You're still in there.
Now, does it have to be... Can it be any kind of line? Can it be? It can't be Spectra that tests out, right?
In theory, it could be.
It could be. As long as it tests out at 15 pounds or 20 pounds.
Exactly.
It could be kite string.
It could be kite string.
Okay.
Linen.
Linen line, which are
our friends at the Avalon Tuna Club
Absolutely. If they can find it, right?
If they can find it.
Bob, are you up on some of the other fun, there's some of the categories, there are clubs that guys have been, 5-1. And 2-1 and slam clubs, and there's like a lot of other kind of record things other than just weight of fish. Can you go over some of those just for the guys that aren't familiar?
Sure. The 5-1 and 10-1 clubs that you mentioned, we discontinued several years back. The reason being was we felt that it was encouraging people to take fish just for the purpose of achieving one of those 10-1, 5-1 clubs. However, there are trophy clubs, and the requirements for the trophy clubs are all on the IGFA website, as well as in the World Record Book. One that I'm very familiar with is the Mai Mai or Dorado, and for that particular species, it's a 50-pound, and I don't remember the exact number of centimeters, but when we went to Panama here a couple of years back, they get big Dorado down there. And both my wife and I were actually able to qualify for one of those trophy clubs. So really, it doesn't have to be a world record. Angler recognition in general is a big part of what we do.
Yeah.
Whether it's through trophy clubs, slams, like the billfish royal slam.
Sure.
Having caught all 9 species of billfish, which is something that, as you know, I focus on.
Yeah.
And
how far along are you?
I've completed it 3 times.
Completed it
3 times.
Okay,
9 species.
So name all 9 species.
Okay, well, you're going to put me on the spot, aren't you?
Because I was like, 9? Is that many?
Same thing. I started counting my fingers. Like, well, I'm missing a few of them.
You use your fingers.
Okay.
Atlantic blue marlin.
Okay.
Pacific blue marlin.
Okay.
Black marlin.
Okay.
Striped marlin.
Okay.
White marlin.
Okay.
Pacific sailfish,
okay.
Atlantic sailfish,
okay.
Spearfish, and the gladiator of the sea, swordfish.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Okay. And you've caught all those species.
Yes.
What was the hardest one to knock off your list?
Swordfish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Swordfish.
Second hardest.
They're all about, the others were all about the same.
Yeah.
What's harder to catch, a Pacific blue marlin or an Atlantic blue marlin?
I think you're in the right place.
Yeah, you have to go to where they are.
Yeah, where did you catch that Atlantic blue marlin?
Well, we caught them in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, okay.
We found that's an excellent area at certain times of the year if you're targeting blue marlin. The biggest issue is finding somebody to fish with, in that the DR, or Dominican Republic, doesn't really have a good sport fishing fleet.
Gotcha.
But there are some captains based here in the United States. Tim Richardson from Australia, has a boat down there. VJ Bell, who we fished with this past spring, takes a boat down there. So there are some outstanding, boats and skippers that do fish that area.
And again, all of those fish need to be caught in accordance with IGFA angling rules. So
correct.
The leader of the line, correct. All that has to be right. You handling the rod, not the crew, all of those things for it to count in your slam.
That's correct.
That's cool.
Where'd you get some black marlin?
Actually, my first one was caught in Australia. On the Great Barrier Reef.
Okay.
But since then, because it's a long way to Australia, right? 15-hour flight. We now go to Panama.
Panama.
And the fish may not be as big, But do you have a better opportunity, I think?
To catch one.
I got. I know I keep putting you on the spot, but I got to know what the spearfish is one that's often tough on people's list. Where'd that one come from?
Kona.
Okay.
Kona.
Yeah, that's the best place to go for short-billed spearfish.
Yeah. Well, let's continue our catch report.
You got it, man. We got the man standing by. Marcos from C4 Sport Fishing is online. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. I know we're getting late into the fall. Still some good fishing going on at Seaforth?
I mean, who would have thought that second half of October, the San Diego is going to be catching Dorado, Bluefin, and Yellowfin on this full-day trip, right?
I love it.
You know, limits of Dorado, too. You know, it's like, yeah, it's only two, but still, it's a full-day trip we're talking about here.
So cool.
Fishing's still rolling along about the same as it has been. A little more inconsistent. You know, some tougher days mixed in there. But the half day, still catching calico bass, rockfish, whitefish. Pretty much really caught all season. Not really getting those glimpses of yellowtail, but they're still out there. So maybe you'll see some of those. Full days, like we said, bluefin, yellowfin, dorado, some bonito on some of those trips. Just running the gamut there on the full day trips. Overnights, about the same as we've seen. A lot of bluefin in there. The Aztec came back yesterday. They had 17 bluefin. Had at least one over 200 pounds, and most of those fish are in the 60 to 150 pound range. Cortez coming off 2 day also, limits of bluefin, yellowtail, bonita mix in there, and it's been this pretty much all week there. You know, it's catching good fish in that 60 to 150 pound range, a few over 200 on some of those trips, so lots of fishing still to be had there. It's definitely, like we've been saying for a while here, and I'm going to keep saying it, don't put your gear away yet. We've talked about this every year, so we see some of our best fishing in October, sometimes in November, so. Definitely check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Full schedule up there for those half days, the full days, some of those longer trips. I think the Tribute has trips scheduled through December here. He's going to try and get those fish, you know, fishing in there. So make your reservations online. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person, get your gear tuned up, and get out there fishing because it's certainly not over at this point.
That's for dang sure. Marcos, great report as always. Appreciate it very much. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
All right, thanks a lot. That's going to wrap up our catch report. Again, want to thank you, everybody. Dana Landing on Mission Bay, it's your one-stop shop for everything that you need to go fishing, a complete saltwater tackle shop. They have a full deli, snacks, beverages, ice and boating supplies. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle and the brand-new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, full of all the freshwater tackle and live bait that you need for a great day in the lake. Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld, next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. And East County Bait and Tackle, they're at the end of the 67 Freeway at Mapleview and Lakeside. The new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, they're on Broadway and Lemon Grove. Check DanaLanding.com for more information.
Indeed. And I got a great text here from Charles in Del Mar, and let me bring it up here, and thanks a lot for all the texts. And anyway, he says, where is there a certified weigh station in San Diego County? And that's a good question. Where are they in throughout Southern California?
Okay, well, the Marlin Club has a certified
scale. San Diego Marlin Club.
San Diego Marlin Club, yes. You know, and actually, you could go to a supermarket if they would weigh your fish, as long as it has a current certification. It doesn't have to be like at an angling club, Balboa Angling Club, for instance, is another certified scale. There's a scale in Avalon.
Okay.
But it does not have to be at a fishing club. It can be any current certified scale.
So you go down to your local meat market and say, hey, can you throw this fish up on your waist, as long as it's a certified scale? How do you prove that it's a certified scale?
Well, obviously, if they don't have a weight slip, you know, you're going to have to create your own and have all the required information. And then the owner or the individual that weighed the fish would have to sign off as the weighmaster.
So
there should be a seal on the, the seal, right? Like signed by Weights and Measures.
Yep. And it should, and it needs to be current.
That's what about the one at Fisherman's Landing? Is that certified scale?
We have weighed, I don't know if I want to say hundreds of records, but dozens and dozens of records.
Yeah. And that is a certified
definitely
scale.
Certified every year.
Point Loma Sport Fishing too?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speak for them, but I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure H&M the same. Like, but yeah,
Seaforth, I'm sure. Yes, probably a certified scale.
What I can tell you is that Fisherman's Landing definitely does have a certified scale, and it is, you know, that's Chris is on that. I mean, it's checked every single year by Weights and Measures.
Yeah,
and like there's a little seal with an autograph on it, like you can.
So San Diego Marlin Club, is there one in Dana Point?
It is, but it's not a certified scale because it's on a floating platform.
Oh.
It has to be on a stationary platform.
Oh, okay.
And then there's one in Newport.
Balboa Angler
Club. Balboa Angler Club, and is there one in L.A.?
You know, I'm not sure, yeah. Pete, if there is one in L.A. I know there's one up in Ventura.
Okay.
At one of the yacht clubs up there.
Yeah, they have a certified scale. So that's a good question.
Yeah,
though.
No, totally.
You know, one other thing, too, is that we've been talking about all the great things and things that IGFA does. Let's talk about the Fishing Hall of Fame and the Tommy Gifford Award, because there are some local captains that have been recognized in both categories, right, Bob?
Absolutely. Well, Hall of Fame, of course, is the ultimate honor that anyone can receive from the International Game Fish Association. And our own Bill Poole is in the Hall of Fame.
Very deserving.
Very well-deserved.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Another individual who may not be a fishing captain, but just this last September, Mike Ferrier.
Oh, wow.
Who's well-known to many in the San Diego
community. Mike's been on the Soccer Cup,
exactly.
Absolutely.
He was just recognized and inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Wow. Well-deserved.
Well-deserved as well.
Yeah.
In the Tommy Gifford Awards, I refer to it as Legendary Captains and Crew.
Which, that's a very prestigious award.
It is. It is. And we have three individuals that come to mind. Steve Lasley, Mike B. Kurt,
yeah,
and most recently, Pete Grosbeck.
Just this past year, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, and they've all received the Tommy Gifford Awards. All of those are just huge honors in the fishing community.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, this is worldwide angling we're talking
about.
It
is worldwide.
Right?
Yeah. You know, because IGFA is an international organization.
Yeah.
Who is it that, you know, that picks that record? You know what I mean? Like who were Lasley and Grosbeck and Beak? Like, who were those people recognized by to achieve that award?
Well, they're, you know, typically one has to be nominated, you know, before they'll be considered. Then there is a formal committee process that reviews, you know, the various nominees. And ultimately, it's voted on by that board.
That's cool.
And the same would hold true for, you know, the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Yeah, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Well, phones are packed. They want to talk to you, Bob, so let's jump into it.
They sure are. Let's jump in and talk to Mike. He's calling us from Rosemead this morning. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Mike.
Good morning. To be fair, this is a geared saltwater radio show, but... how do you compare the freshwater species as far as records to saltwater? I think the International Game Fish Association, since its inception, has always been towards saltwater. But can you compare the two? What's more popular or more?
Yeah, that's a good question.
More records being submitted saltwater, freshwater wise.
Yeah, great question. IGFA does maintain all the freshwater world records as well as saltwater. And you're correct when you say it seems like the bias has been more towards saltwater. We're in the process of trying to remedy that, where we're doing more outreach to the freshwater fishing community, because that's an equally important part of recreational fishing. So it's not by design that perhaps they've been somewhat excluded, but we want to try and make them a more prominent part of our program.
That's awesome.
And when you get – so as a member of the IGFA, and the people that are winning today are going to get this, because they're going to be – one's going to be a lifetime member, one's going to be an annual member. You get the record book every year, right?
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
So there's fresh and saltwater records in there, so you can – pull through that record book and say, hey, I could get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And all the various trophy and slam clubs and what have you are in there as well.
Bob, excuse my lack of knowledge of this, but I remember reading something about it a while ago, but is there I believe that there's a line of records based on length, like a release-type record thing for trout guys and things like that, where somebody recognized because this fish was, you know, 21 inches, and rather than wanting to weigh them on land and achieve a record that way, they wanted to kick that thing back in, but still something to be recognized for on that?
I'm glad you brought that up, Rick, because that is a very important relatively new program, and it's the World Record Length Program. And there are certain species, both within saltwater and freshwater, that are eligible for that. the one thing that individuals need to obtain if they want to, you know, participate in the length world record program is there's a certified scale that you have to get from IGFA. It's actually a measuring tape. I said scale, but measuring tape. And I think the cost is $50.
That's cool.
But you have to obtain that.
You do.
Particularly. Yeah.
Because the photographs have to be taken on that
scale.
On that
scale. You're not just throwing down the Stanley tape measure. It's got to be on the same.
Exactly.
Again, to make it fair for all the other guys, like, you don't want to eliminate somebody who took all the rules and did it the right way by somebody else that just says, hey, you know, it's on a yardstick. It's good enough. My shoe's a size 12, so if you extrapolate that out three times, I guarantee you it was 25 inches. I guarantee it.
But that's just a one-time cost to purchase that scale, and it's made out of a vinyl-type material, so it's easily cleaned and reusable.
And portable. Yeah.
What are some of the species that come to mind that are eligible for that one?
Well, most of
the whole list.
Yeah,
but
most of the species are those that would not endanger the individual. Marlin and billfish are not included on that list. But there are species of tuna in saltwater.
Oh, there are. Cool.
Of course, your trout and bass in freshwater.
Yeah.
So I think there are close to 40 species in each category.
Nice.
And again, they are listed. You know, in the IGFA World Record Book as well as on the IGFA website.
And there again, if you're, you know, into wanting to do something fun when you're going fishing with your buds and you want another cool, thing to do while you're out there fishing, add some fun to your trip, that's a relatively new program, so probably somewhat accessible, you know, somewhat obtainable because it hasn't been around for 50 years. You know, you might be able to slide in and get yourself in the book and get a certificate or...
Yeah, exactly.
And you know... I love trout fishing, and I can't imagine killing a gorgeous trout in the Sierras or up in Montana or wherever you're fishing. And the fact that you can do that and still release that fish safely.
Right.
Are there fly fishing records in the books too?
There are.
Oh, there are.
There are fly fishing records.
Different than a conventional.
Different than conventional.
So the fly fishing category and a conventional.
And a conventional. Uh-huh. And of course, you know, within each of those categories, we have the junior. World records.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, we encourage all, there was that one caller we had earlier whose daughter was really into fishing.
Right.
And, there's opportunities for her if she wants to go out and try and catch a world record.
And then, again, I so much encourage you to look into this, if you have a kid especially, the catch certificate that the IGFA puts out.
Exactly.
They're really, really... just a gorgeous piece, and if your kid loves the fish, I mean, I can't not imagine not giving, or a friend comes on your boat or something like that, that catch certificate is just amazing.
Yep.
And $25.
Yep. And, lasts a lifetime.
Lasts a lifetime, yeah, I'm sure, for sure. The Swordfish Open that's coming up here just in a couple of weeks, again, let's talk a little more about that.
Okay. You know, what's kind of interesting, Pete, is last year, and, you know, some people, when you think about tournaments, you think it's all the big boats, the guys with, all the tackle and basically rigged to the nines. Well, in last year's tournament, the two largest swordfish caught were caught on Parkers.
Wow. On Parkers.
On Parkers.
Cool. From West Coast Marine.
So, in this tournament, you don't have to be a big gun.
Wow.
You know, you can be a...
So, but the two largest swordfish were on Parkers.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
So there you go. Anybody could enter it.
Anybody can enter it. You know, it includes both deep drop swordfish, which all the ones that were caught last year were deep drop.
Uh-huh.
But there are bonus points if you happen to get a surface swordfish.
Nice.
Wow.
So, but we had, as you mentioned earlier, we had 27 boats, and which was a great turnout.
Oh, fantastic.
For the first year of the tournament. The cost is $350 per angler. Now, what some teams do is they don't register everybody as an angler. And so if somebody's looking to perhaps keep their costs down, they can, you know, enter.
So the captain doesn't have to enter.
Exactly.
You can have one angler and one captain for $350.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sure that it will be gone over for the participants, and you don't need to say it exact, but how does one rig for deep drop swordfish but keep themselves IGFA legal?
Good question.
Boy, is that a great question. I think it's probably a little too difficult to describe on the air.
But it is doable.
But it is doable. We distribute to all the participants the diagrams that show what is and what isn't IGFA legal. So because, you know, you're attaching a weight typically to your line. You've got lights. And so it's somewhat technical, but it is very doable. And, you know, when you do it two or three or four times, it becomes like any other.
And it obviously works.
Yes, and it works.
Fish
get
caught.
And IGFA rules are put into place because of, you know, whatever you call it, fair chase. Like, I mean, the rules are there because, you know, you want to give the fish every bit of advantage possible. And there are a lot of rules against weights and where a weight is placed and things like that, because they don't want, you know, you want to give the fish has to be given every opportunity possible, you know. So if there's a thing that entangles them or hinders them from fighting to their full ability, that often results in a, you know, in a disqualification. So, you know, the rules are put into place for a reason, and it's to make it as completely sporting as possible.
Yeah, it's, you know, sport fishing is like any other sport, whether it's golf or baseball or football. You have rules, so everybody is basically playing, you know, the game.
It's the same rule.
With the same rules.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very good.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including more of your phone calls. Phones are packed up. Everybody wants to talk to Bob. We'll have more of those questions when we return. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
With gas prices going crazy, you certainly need to get the lowest price possible for your car or truck, and especially your trailer boat. That's why you need to visit Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. You're not going to just save pennies. You will save real money when you fill up at Summit Gasoline. Summit does not compromise on service. Oh, no. The great staff is attentive, friendly, and ready to help. When you pull up to the pumps, notice how clean everything is. The great sound system, and, of course, the low gas and diesel prices. Walk into the Summit Gasoline Bistro and check out the selection of frozen bait and chum, the top-of-the-line Italian coffee, and so much more. Get discounted Everingham Live Bait Certificates, your free 100 pounds of ice with a 35-gallon minimum purchase, and stock up on snacks, beer, water, and soda for your trip. Just when you need low gas prices most, Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena comes to the rescue. Summit Gasoline. Low prices, friendly staff, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
This is Bob Hoos at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program. From bay bass to bluefin, I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
Saturday, November 5th, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, and it's our largest sale ever. Plenty of seminars by saltwater experts and over 20 reps from tackle manufacturers like Daiwa, Salty Crew, Phoenix, GraphTech, Penn, MC Baits, and more. Don't miss all the great seminars, the huge raffle to benefit the Rollo Kids, the popular casting contest, and of course, the huge sale. For the best ever tackle bargains, check out Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 5th.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here with Bob this morning. So much cool information going through. Phones are absolutely packed up. That's 213-432-1090. Still plenty of time, too, to shoot us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Absolutely. Phones are packed. Let's jump into it, Rick.
You got it. This time we're going to talk to Chuck. Chuck's calling us from Dana Point this morning. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Welcome aboard, Bob. One of my stories I tell now is from the last time you were on the biggest fish caught was a great white. I think it was like over 1,100 pounds or something. But the bait, chunk seal. crazy to be able to do both of those fish, you know. Now they're both protected. But as far as the line goes, I have two things that I want to say. Is Pink Andy still on the market because it's IGF certified? And then if I catch a, you know, nice size sculpin, because I think it's under 3 pounds, that could lose all that weight driving it to somewhere because Dana Point's not registered. How do you avoid that?
As far as where you would go to weigh the fish?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, as I mentioned earlier, you can go to any certified scale, whether it's at a supermarket or a butcher shop or
there's whatever. A fish market right in Dana Point, right?
Yeah. And so if they will weigh it for you, and you might use a weight slip that you've created yourself.
Take a picture of the scale.
Take a picture of the scale and the certification. So it doesn't have to be weighed at, you know, an angling club like we typically think in terms of.
What about getting your own scale? Is that doable?
Yes.
Is it certifiable?
Yes. Yes. Matter of fact, that's a good point.
Like if you're a record chaser?
That's a great point, Rick. Handheld scales, as long as they are used on solid ground, you can't weigh a fish on the boat because of the rocking and rolling causes the scale to fluctuate. But
you can actually hold the scale by hand, or has it to be fixed?
No, you can hold it by hand, and you would send the scale in to IGFA to be certified.
Okay.
The certification is good for 1 year, and then it would have to be recertified the following year. Okay. So, yes, that would be an excellent way if you're catching smaller fish and you want to be able to weigh it without having to go to the market or find an angling club that has a certified scale.
I think Boga grips are certifiable, right?
Yes.
Like, and
yes.
That's
the problem with a Boga. It doesn't give any intents or, yeah.
Yeah, well, what they'll do is they'll take it to the closest marking.
Marking, okay.
Yeah, so you can't interpolate, you know, well, it's halfway between this and that.
And it depends on what you're catching, too, because the lighter Bogas go a lot, you know what I mean? Like, you're right that a 50-pounder does 1 through 50, but a 10-pound scale, I think, does quarters and halves.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Point.
Like, there's more increments on the smaller scale.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Now, as far as your question, Chuck, on, you know, Pink Andy, I honestly do not know if it's still available. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I tend to just fish the ones that are tournament-rated or IGFA-rated line.
Bongo Joe. Yellowtail at Catalina, man. That's his stuff.
Can't say Pink Andy without thinking of Bongo Joe, right?
For sure. Hey, great. Thanks a lot for your call. Mike from San Juan Capistrano has a question here. Can you share some more interesting record submissions that you're aware of? Which some kind of a unique record submissions that you've kind of maybe been a part of or that you've seen and gone, wow, that's pretty cool.
You know, actually, the only two records that I've been directly involved in are the ones that I caught and my wife Sally caught. But as far as having been actively involved in other records, I have not. I've been I've watched the process. I've kind of given a, boy, that's a nice fish.
Encouraged the guy, hey, man, you might think about
yeah,
that thing.
Exactly.
Go weigh that thing up.
But have not actually been actively involved in other records.
I had a great text from Kevin from Huntington Beach. Good morning, guys. Bob, if a species is not in the IGFA list, can a new listing be created for that fish and submitted for line class? How does one go about the process?
The answer to that question is yes. And
like such as the Cortez rudderfish or the Cortez
teachub.
Or how about the beltfish?
The beltfish?
Well, I didn't even know about that. What is that?
Well, you know, I had never heard of it before either. But one of my friends who fishes swordfish, he prefers to use beltfish in lieu of squid.
Oh, really?
Okay. So, you know, go figure.
All right.
But anyhow, the answer to your question is yes. If you have a particular species that is of interest to you, you should write a letter to IGFA addressing the species and why you think it should be included. And it will be reviewed and a decision made as to whether or not to accept it as a species.
That's cool.
For world records.
That is cool.
When I was in Cedros, I caught a fish that I had never seen before. And I'm usually pretty darn good on my fish ID.
Yeah.
And I had nothing. Couldn't get any of the guys at the island didn't know, you know, Javier didn't know what it was. He grew up there. And it took going all the way up the ladder to get to Steve Carson before I finally got Steve Carson and Larry Allen. Like, those were the two that got the positive ID from. But, you know, that was one of those things that, like, I'd never seen one of those before, and it wasn't in the book, you know. Like,
and what was it?
It was it's called a sand perch, a greater sand perch, is what it was. But it looks like maybe I'll put a photo up on our social media. It looks like you took a perfect mix of the attributes of a calico bass, a sand bass, a golden spotted bass, and then some kind of a perch, and just put all those in a bucket together and popped a fish out of it. That's has attributes of all those things, but it wasn't any one of those things.
So if you submitted that, you could be a world record, an all tackle world record holder,
you
right?
You could submit the potential of the fish and then had it be voted on that, this one's worth having in the book. That could have been the record.
Yeah.
No doubt.
There you go.
Yeah, we're always looking for additional angling opportunities. So I would encourage, our listener to go ahead and do just that.
Absolutely. More opportunities for people to participate in the IGFA.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, phones are packed up. We're going to dive back into them with John. He's called us from Escondido this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great show as always. So, do you have to be an IGAF member in order to qualify for to go in the record book?
Yes, you do. You do not have to be a member at the time you catch the fish, but when you submit your application, you basically take out a membership at the same time.
And so, if I'm on a long-range trip, 22 days, and we're going to an exotic place, and we catch something, how would you weigh it because you're on a floating platform to qualify for the record book?
What you would have to do is you would have to preserve the fish. And basically, once you did get to a place where you could weigh it on a certified scale, you would weigh it at that time.
John, I can tell you that we have weighed and several records have been established from that exotic place you're talking about. And it's just... goes in the fish hold, comes out, gets weighed up at the top of the dock, and there have been several records that have been created from that trip.
Probably like the Cortez Sea Chub.
Even similar, but even farther south.
Even further south. Yeah, I gotcha. All right, John, thanks a lot
for the
phone call this morning. Great text from John, I believe somewhere in L.A. in the 310 area code. And he says, how long does it take to get back results from your catch of a world record?
Ooh, that's a good question.
We typically set 45 days as the timeline that we would like to complete the processing of a world record claim and announce the results. So that's our standard, 45 days.
Okay. Pretty cool. Hey, phones again packed up. It's the first time we've had an open line. Again, it's 213-432-1090. Sean in Lomita, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Sean?
Hey, good morning, guys. Bob, I'm sure you have lots of stories. We love fishing stories. What is a story you have of maybe the longest fight or the craziest fight from either you've seen or been part of?
We were talking about that during the break.
Yeah, we just spoke about that. This dates back a few years now. I think it was 86. And it was during the Master Angler Billfish Tournament. And we had a surface swordfish that popped up. And instead of grabbing the 50-pound outfit, I grabbed the 30-pound because I could cast it better. And this fish wouldn't eat for the first four or five casts, and then for some reason on the next one, it just piled on, and we were off to the races.
Wow.
Long story short, 11 hours and 45 minutes later, stand up, the leader finally parted.
Say that again. 11 hours and 45 minutes.
Yes, 11 hours and 45 minutes.
And that's nobody helping you.
Nobody helping me.
Jeez.
Oh. When
I'd have given up way before. Yeah. I'm just going to go on record. It's like, I'm tapping
that's
out.
That's about 11 hours too long for me.
Yeah, I'm tapping out.
Yeah, you know, when you were a baby, an infant, right? When you had to go, you just went, right?
You went, yeah.
Well, that's what you did, did on this
trip. Yeah. 11 hours,
there's nothing else you can do.
Yeah.
You've got to stay hydrated, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of how many Coors Lights we would have need to fed Neil if he was pulling on a fish while standing hung out for 11 hours. Like, there'd be a few of them.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, my. Good question.
That's pretty cool. Great story.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, a good comment from our friend Paul Lepore, listening to us on the Let's Talk Hookup app from Montana, which thanks to Paul. He's the one that said, you need to have Bob Kurz on the show. Paul was right. So thanks, buddy. Looking forward to the show. Bob is an incredibly knowledgeable guy who is very dedicated to protecting our fishery. Sally is always right there by his side and shares the same passion and is also a very talented angler. That's cool.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Yeah, for sure. So Sally's your wife.
Sally is my wife.
And she helps you out a lot.
As passionate an angler as I am.
Wow.
And matter of fact, whenever the boat goes out, Sally better be on board.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And how long have you guys been married?
We've been married 55 years.
55 years.
That's right.
Wow. Okay, my question is, how come you didn't bring Sally down this morning?
He was smart enough to let her sleep in.
that's a great response.
You heard him. He's been married 55 years. The guy picked up something along the way.
When I set the alarm this morning for 4:45, she said, just don't wake me up.
Okay, that answers the question.
Good morning, Sally.
Happy wife, happy life,
cool.
Right? Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go ahead and jump back into it. Right?
You got it, buddy. How about this time we talk to Roland? He's got us from Hacienda Heights this morning. What's up, Roland? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, long-time listener, first-time caller. Does IGFA publish a booklet on the rules and regulations regarding the fish, or is that all online?
You know, mainly online nowadays. If it was a tournament setting, typically we will provide hard copy. But for the most part, you know, you'll find the rules online, and it is available in multiple languages so that individuals who fish around the globe are able to understand what the rules are as well.
Do they publish them in different languages?
Okay, so if I want a published copy, where would I go?
You would reach out to IGFA and address it to the World Records Department.
And you can find them online, or you can draft a letter and get it done that way.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. IGFA.org has a lot of answers to the programs, the world records, all the different things, the catch certificates, all that stuff.
And, of course, the other thing is if one joins IGFA and becomes a member, you get the world record book every year, which has all the IGFA rules in it, in hard copy. I keep one on my boat.
$50 a year to both be a member, to be able to participate, and to be a part of an organization that's clearly putting a ton back into what we do, back into our resource.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
Way worth the investment.
Another question. Do you need to be a member to get the catch certificate, like if you want to give one away as a gift?
No.
Oh, you do not. Okay. All right. Very good.
Cool.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call.
I had a fun text come through. This is from Bill in Cardiff. I'm really interested in qualifying for records. What's the shortest length of top shot I could put on top of my Spectra to be in contention for record?
16.5 feet.
16.5 feet.
And can that be connected just via, you know, an RP knot, a back-to-back? You know, I mean, it doesn't need to be anything fancy.
Whatever connection knot you want to use.
Fast reel full of Power Pro, 16 feet of top shot. 16.5 feet of top shot, and away you go.
So what I would suggest, though, I mean, even though, you know, the requirement is 16.5 feet, is if you wind up cutting the line at some point to retie your lure or hook or whatever, you know.
Put 18 feet on.
Yeah, some extra line on. You know, it's not going to cost that much, and you're going to save yourself a lot of grief.
Yeah.
You know.
And you have to send that piece of line into the IGFA.
You do.
With the connection?
With yes, where the connecting knot is to the Spectra.
So they can prove, and with the hook on it?
No.
Or the lure?
No.
No.
Oftentimes what they will require is that you photograph, you know, the lure or fly or whatever it is that you caught the fish on, but you do not have to actually submit it.
Are there a different set of rules for fly fishermen than conventional fishermen? Like 16.5 feet of tippet is a lot.
Yeah, and I'm not a fly fisher, so okay. I'm probably not the right guy. But yes, there is.
There's a different. It's a different set of rules.
Yes, there definitely is. And and those are spelled out in the world record book and on the website as well.
I know for like the big marlin stuff that we were talking about for Bisbee's, like you get 30 feet. We make everything 28 feet, so that if there's a tremendous amount of stretch from them wiring the fish, you know, hand over hand to the back foot, and the line doesn't. Sometimes it stretches and stays a little stretched, and sometimes it relaxes too much. So, like, you know, you always build in the just-in-case
factor.
Because
you put 30 feet on, and it stretches to 31, you're out.
You're out.
It
stretches to 30 feet and an inch, you're out.
Exactly. And that is, it has to qualify to, like, what would, isn't that happened in the Bisbee before?
It happened in Catalina Classic a couple years ago.
Yeah, where somebody lost thousands.
1 inch. They made their gear exactly to specs before it was used. The leader was stretched. They pulled on a fish for a while. It stretched out. When it got measured up, it was one inch over. Yeah. It has to be 30 feet, and it was
or under.
It was 30 feet and an inch.
And an inch.
And that was it.
Yeah.
Game over.
Amazing.
So I've seen the largest fish. Yeah, I've seen the largest fish of the tournament in the Hawaiian International Billfish Tournament disqualified for just what you described.
Right.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump back in the phones.
Dave in Long Beach is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Dave, thanks for the call. Good morning.
Good morning. I love listening to you guys. I wanted to mix in a little fishing story, which is, I guess, always appropriate on this program. Guys, this goes back about 30 years, and we were, a friend of mine, about three of us were on a trip trying to catch bluefin, and we caught a whole bunch of them, you know, 15-pounders in this one spot, and we got greedy and decided we were going to try and find bigger ones. So the captain or the guy who owned the boat, he threw a blue plastic bag out on the water as a marker. So then we moved and came back later. We couldn't find a plastic bag. We went around and everything, and then finally it dawned on him that current had moved the plastic bag. You know, duh. And anyway, so we didn't get back to the spot. But that same weekend or a weekend later, some guy called up your show and said he was fishing, couldn't find anything, and he found a blue plastic bag floating in the water. And he threw down his stuff there, and he just killed him. So
there you go.
He found the plastic bag.
You put the guy on the fish.
Fine.
Hooked him up.
Nice
going.
Yeah,
nice
job, David. Thanks.
That's funny.
Thanks a lot for the call and the story. That's a good story.
That's cool.
For sure. I wonder if plastic bags would be IGFA legal.
I'd say we're probably better off not throwing plastic.
We don't want plastic in the water.
Yeah. Hey, Gary from Lawndale, the Iron Man himself, says, how often do the rules change, and can someone request a change?
The rules typically do not change very often. It's kind of like the Constitution for the United States. I mean, the Constitution can be changed. It can be amended. But typically it doesn't happen very often. And the same thing applies to the IGFA rules. However, I think as Rick mentioned earlier in the show, the introduction of Spectra and then the mono top shot is a fairly recent rule change. But it was done with the due diligence.
Right.
We had participants from around the globe participate in a symposium, and ultimately it resulted in that change. So, In answer to your second question, if you would like to see a rule changed, go ahead and draft what it is that you're advocating for, submit it to IGFA for consideration, and if they think it has merit, it will be processed through the World Record Committee and also the Rules Committee.
As a trustee, are you on that board when they make those decisions?
I ultimately get to vote on it. I am not on those two committees.
Gotcha.
But
you get to vote on
it. I do get to vote on it, yes.
All right. So you better be nice to him.
Yeah. Well, we got one from the West Coast.
Yeah.
Between him and Shed, we're looking good.
Yeah.
Hey, appreciate the call very much. When we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including finding out who's got themselves a lifetime IGFA membership and a one-year membership. We're giving them away both. You stay tuned. It's more Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopritch. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights are fishing in protected, calm waters. Very important. Quality Chinook salmon run all season long. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out with a great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and sandspit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to sandspit. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Saturday, November 5th is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Seminars by saltwater experts, great deals on tackle, top tackle reps like AFTCO with Psycho Pro Fluorocarbon, and incredible deals on AFTCO clothing. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 5th.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out the big winner. Again, we're giving away a lifetime IGFA membership as well as a one-year membership. Bob's going to flip the coin to determine who wins that lifetime membership. Bob, who's the honors?
Go for it.
Okay, we have... Go for it. We have a caller. So congratulations, caller. Roland from Hacienda Heights. You have got yourself a lifetime IGFA membership, $1,500. And Kevin from Huntington Beach, congratulations on the texter side. You've got yourself a one-year membership to the IGFA.
All right. Congratulations. And Bob, great youth programs at IGFA too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're trying to ensure the future of the sport, and the future, of course, is in our youth. IGFA has a number of summer camps. We work with the National Park Service. We have fishing kits in a box that we send out worldwide to the various IGFA representatives. So we're very much involved in youth education and teaching kids how to fish.
Yeah, that's so cool. And keep it up and keep your hard work up, too. That's really fantastic. How does one become a member of the IGFA?
Well, it's pretty simple. If you go to IGFA.org, you can sign up right online. Or you can call the headquarters, and they can process your application over the phone.
Yeah, and all the different programs. You get this great book with the program report. I encourage people to do that. The catch certificates are really cool. There's so many different things that you can take advantage of that we're not taking advantage of.
And the yearly book is awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's really cool.
I mean, we could talk all day about all the different programs that IGFA is involved in.
For sure. Well, thank you, Bob, taking the time and educating our listeners. And thanks to Christian for manning the busy phones today. And, of course, thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And thank you for all the texters, all the calls, and the listeners. We sure appreciate what you do. I'm going fishing.
Go fishing,
buddy. I
got to
go. Because tomorrow morning, Rick and Corey will be here. Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star will be here talking some fishing, long-range fishing, and more. We'll give you some reports, hopefully, from the Shogun back next Friday morning. And next weekend, a couple of great shows and more information. So thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio on the Let's Talk Hookup app, and go Padres right here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.